This is NASCAR driver Tony Breininger inviting you to make a pit stop at Raising Cane's for my favorite craveable chicken fingers. Turbocharge your order and get it even faster when you order online or with the Raising Cane's app. Raising Cane's chicken fingers, one love. Raising Cane's is not affiliated with NASCAR.
Hi guys, Ethan here. Today we're talking about Ready Player One, which is all about virtual reality. And you know, I love virtual reality. I talk about it a lot on this show, but I wanted to also emphasize how important reality is. We have to live in the moment. We have to communicate with each other. We have to learn from each other in real time. Hold on a second. Sorry. I'm a little distracted this morning because my mom is texting me a link and then this link doesn't work. Ugh, so annoying. Let me just text her back and then I'll be right with you. I'm not being rude. I'm just, I just have to finish this because it's family and family's important. She was just missing an M on the .com. So she wrote .co. So that's why it wasn't working, but let me fix that. And then I'll finish this intro. 1 second. I'm so sorry. Just give me 1 second. Ugh. And then, oh my God, autocorrect. And, but yeah, which movie are we doing? What is this for? What podcast is this? Who am I? Anyone help?
Bad science. Did the movie get it right? Bad science. Or will we have to fight? Bad science.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Bad Science. I'm Ethan Edinburgh, and today we are talking about Ready Player One, a movie that is like half in VR, half animated, half CGI. I honestly don't know exactly how they made it, but it certainly wasn't what I was expecting. I'm talking with two wonderful guys here today. First, I'm talking to a good friend of mine. He's the project controller at Kewitt. He plays a lot of video games. He told me he has read Ready Player One, the book, and that he uses AR for 3D modeling of power plants. It's Alisher Kamilov.
Hey guys, how's it going?
How's it going, Alisher?
Great. So happy to be here.
So happy to be here with you as well today in real reality.
Just to clarify to everyone, we are in reality. We are not in VR currently.
Correct. However, the person we are talking to today is not in our reality presently, is not in the room. We are talking to him through a device. How do you explain this device? It's like a cellular communicative device.
It's like a telecommunication device, wireless. That's probably how I would describe it.
Yeah, it's an unbelievable piece of tech here. And of course, we are talking to a senior software engineer at Mozilla, who is also on the mixed reality team. It's Dominic Daniello.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm doing very well. How are you, Dominic?
I'm great. Happy to be here.
Well, we all watched Ready Player One. This movie was not what I expected, like I said. I honestly thought it was going to be way worse. I ended up having a great time and really enjoying the movie, but I haven't read the book. And from what I understand, people that are huge fans of the book dislike the movie. So, Dominic, have you read the book?
I have read the book, yeah. And I would agree that the movie does not really do the book justice. I would say overall, like really the movie's just way more rushed than the book. It just doesn't cover as much. It gets the spirit of it, I guess. But
was there a main flaw, you know, something that stood out to you as like this, you know, some things you can change, but this particular thing is unacceptable?
I think there was this whole segment of the book about Joust, the game, and they kind of sort of referenced it in the movie, but then kind of barely covered it. And that was like a whole big section of the book.
Okay. Is that something that also bothered you, Alisher?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think there was a lot of buildup to that first gate, right? I think they spent a lot of the first early chapters building up to that first copper key, a lot of exposition, and then in the game, it's like, oh, someone just kind of found it, and now we're trying to beat the gate. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I kind of understand from a cinematic standpoint, they're probably like, we only have so much time, we got to get it done. But
yeah, and
yeah,
it was a long movie.
I agree with Dom, though. The definitely not enough justice.
Not enough joustice.
Oh, yes, exactly. Given.
I'm so sorry.
Just overall, like the build up to like all the characters meeting each other and all this stuff. I mean, just happens kind of instantly in the movie. And this is like way late in the book. You know, it's the whole thing is just very rushed. And also in the movie, they kind of all happen to be in the same place. And they're just like, oh, yeah, we're all next to each other. So suddenly, like, there's no traveling or anything like that.
Yeah, but, I did.
I mean, a lot of it is just you have to fit it into the movie, right? And it's 2 hours and, you know, what are you going to do?
Yeah, I didn't really get a lot of stuff that happened, but I usually write that off to me being stupid and not being able to keep track of what's happening. But there was a few parts where I just definitely didn't know what was happening. And Alisher was there with me and made me feel better saying like, well, in the book, there's a lot more reasonings. There's a lot more, I don't know, backstory to what's going on.
Yeah,
which is either you being nice or once again, me being a schmuck.
No, I think it. You had valid questions as you were watching the movie.
Thank you.
But so I'll give you that for sure. But yeah, no, there was it's definitely because there are gaps between what's happens in the book.
And yeah, there was just kind of all of a sudden that happened a few times to me where I was like, oh, now all of a sudden it's a big car race.
Right.
And then I turned to Alistair and I'm like, so wait, what does this mean? What's the car race for? For the key? Do you get the key at the end? And he goes, honestly, in the book, no car race.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was like, it was been a while since I read the book, but I do not even remember there being a car race.
No, I'm pretty sure the closest thing that was in there was the reference to the DeLorean, mm-hmm. which I want to say shows up in the book at some point.
Okay. Yeah, his car.
I can't imagine it doesn't, yeah.
His chosen vehicle of transport was the DeLorean, mm-hmm. and I didn't understand the rules as far as, like, can you do a flying transport? Because that would just, avoid a lot of the traps in the road. But I don't know, it was just very detailed. There's a huge King Kong and like Jurassic Park T-Rex, and I didn't know what was going on, and to hear that it wasn't even in the book was a little bit alarming. But I will say again, I enjoyed it. It was a rush. I liked watching the movie. It was fun.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. It's just fun. And I feel like the same way about the book. I wouldn't say it's like, maybe I'm going to get flack for this. I don't think it's excellently written or a great book or anything like that, but it's just really fun. Like it's, the references are fun. The story is just like, it's just a good read. Like it's just enjoyable.
Okay. Well, we're going to get into VR today. I want to know exactly what you're doing over there, Mozilla, AR, XR, mm-hmm. I'm going to ask about, but let's start with a few more movie questions here. I had a couple. Number one, there's a drone right at the top. There's a Pizza Hut drone delivery service. So Do we have anything like that? Alistair, you were mentioning in the car that Domino's has something that they're cooking up. Well, no pun intended.
Great pun. I'm not sure. I thought maybe Domino's would be the
just
first
came
one.
Came to mind.
Because they do all that mobile pizza delivery, autonomous vehicles stuff.
Yeah. But do you know about this, Dominic? Are you getting pizzas delivered to your house?
I'm not sure about Domino's, but I know for sure like Amazon's working on this stuff. It's a big just industry in general, like this drone technology. I know like there's just lots of startups and stuff getting involved in the area. I mean, I have seen, I live in Silicon Valley, and you definitely see the autonomous, like not drones, but these little driving delivery robots that drive on the sidewalk and like deliver stuff. I mean, they're like test pilots, but like I've seen those around.
What does that look like?
It's just this little tiny truck the size of like
what?
I don't know.
Tiny,
like
you can't just say
just drives
tiny truck
on the sidewalk.
No. Like, I will not. Are you talking about like a toy truck, like what a kid gets into and drives around?
Yeah, maybe a little bit small. Like let's see.
I can't believe this.
Just a small little container with wheels, I guess I would say. Maybe tiny truck was the wrong word. But yeah, you see them driving around, and they right now they usually have like a person kind of awkwardly following behind them, typing onto a laptop, trying to take notes or whatever.
They have technology where they're not running into anybody or going into the street.
Exactly. They have a bunch of sensors and they're looking at stuff and kind of navigating automatically. I mean, we're completely on the cusp of this stuff being completely normal. And then on the drone side, like absolutely, like Amazon is working on this. Like they've talked about it before.
I'm not sure what is scarier at this point, to be straight with you. I don't know if a drone coming to my neighbor's house is scarier, because obviously that can go wrong and just wreck a kid or God knows what. Or this thing on the sidewalk. Sidewalks are dangerous enough. Sidewalks are usually not level, and I have fallen by myself walking on a sidewalk. So if there's a robot, if there's a tiny truck and he's scooting around, that's super dangerous, no?
I feel like a drone would be more mobile, I feel like a lot of people are going to want to mess with a little robot going down the sidewalk.
Yes.
I mean, if it wasn't for the person that's following it, and taking data, collecting data, but a drone can just drop a package and just, get out of Dodge, basically.
Yeah,
I guess that's true. I just think, I don't know, when I was a kid, we would mess with anything in our in eyesight.
Right.
So it's like if a drone is delivering a package to Mr. Plea bodies. It's like, I'm going to wreck that thing. Anyways.
They're definitely getting shot down.
Yeah. And that's just their propellers. And I don't know. It just seems like a disaster waiting to happen. I don't know how you make that safe. Okay. Also, everyone in the movie, right at the beginning, they show a bunch of people that have VR headsets. Like literally that's the world, right? Everybody's in VR all the time. And they even go to the extent where people in the streets are using VR headsets and they're running. through the streets in virtual reality. Can you explain that to me?
Yeah, that's actually one of the parts of the movie that I completely just laughed at. I was like, that's ridiculous. I mean, you know, everyone owning VR headsets, you know, obviously, I think we're on a path to that. They're getting cheaper. They're getting smaller, you know, all that sorts of stuff. I think that's not like completely implausible. The whole like running down this, I mean, it just doesn't make sense, right? Like you're going to run into stuff. Like it's just like, obviously it doesn't make sense.
How do they film that? And no one says anything. I was shocked at that part.
Yeah. I mean, they're
running
it
right by a building too.
In other parts of the movie, you know, they actually have the treadmills and stuff like that. So they you know, they kind of explain how it would actually work. And, you know, that's actually pretty accurate. Like those treadmills actually exist right now.
Oh, wait. I'm going to stop you right there then. Omnidirectional treadmills exist?
Yeah, literally the ones they use in the movie are actually a real product. It's called the Infinidec.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And yeah, those are actually created by a startup. Like I've seen them before. I think probably the movie was probably one of their biggest sales of the Infinidec, I'm assuming, but the it's a pretty cool device. I mean, it actually, you know, it does what it looks like in the movie. You can actually run in place, and right now it's like, usually like the only time I've ever seen it used, you know, you have an operator with his hand on the big red button ready to stop it, and there's like, you know, all these guardrails and all this stuff, so it's a lot less sexy than it is in the movie.
Yeah,
but you know, yeah, those things are real, and that's kind of how I would see, you know, if you wanted to be running around and this sort of thing, that's kind of the direction I would see it happening. Like not just running around in real life, because that doesn't really make much sense.
Totally.
So they actually have things. There's a thing called The Void.
Love
it's
the
like
Void.
An experience you can go to. Big yeah, fan. You can go to and they, you know, there you're actually moving around a real environment, and, you know, you're walking around and the walls are where the wall should be. And, you know, maybe it's the wall of a spaceship instead of this unpainted, you know, gray wall that's actually there. But, you know, that sort of thing is real. But yeah, the whole just everyone running around and punching wildly in the air, I'm like, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure at one point there was a guy standing on a surfboard. I guess that was his omnidirectional treadmill.
Just, that will not work.
It was like that. Yeah, I don't know.
Unless you're only playing a surfing game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe he had the cheapest set or bodysuit or whatever they call them in the.
Yeah. What do you know what they're using these Infinidex for? What's the main purpose?
I don't know like who their customers are right now. I mean, like I said, I've just seen them at like trade shows and that sort of thing. You know, they're like, obviously if they became cheap and light and whatever enough, then, you know, anyone might want one. But like, I imagine, you know, if I had to guess who was purchasing them now, like maybe like, there might be some sort of industrial uses maybe, but like also just, you know, if you want to make a VR arcade or whatever, like it's the kind of thing where, you know, your home user is not going to buy one of these things. They're huge, they're expensive. But you know, I could see, you know, you buying one like The Void, where it's like an experience you go to. I could see, you know, VR arcade doing that sort of thing. And they're actually like in Tokyo, there's this huge VR arcade. I haven't been to it, but it's called like VR Land or something like that. And they have like all these crazy, huge exhibits that, you know, you're flying or you're in a cart or all this sorts of crazy stuff. And so I could see them owning one of these if they don't already.
Sweet. Okay. Yeah, I'll let them know. They're such good friends of mine. Speaking of which, gotta harp back to The Void, because Alistair and I have actually done The Void together.
Yes, a couple times.
Yep. Love The Void. I don't work for them. I'm just saying they rock. That was, well, really a unique experience.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I don't know this omnidirectional thing. It just bugged me. I wrote down a note that I was annoyed, I guess, because you're right. They go to like a length to explain that this is how he's moving in the VR world. And then they'll just switch it up randomly. Randomly, he's just sitting in VR. Then also that the Nolan bad guy is just sitting, so I don't know how he walks around. I don't understand that. And then he's up with wires, he's like hooked up like a puppet.
Yeah.
So why not just pick a thing?
You know, I'd be totally scared to be on one of those omnidirectional things.
Yeah,
you know, I feel like if you've ever been on like a one wheel or something, there's like a trick to getting off because it's like auto balancing.
Yes.
So I feel like I'd just get stuck and I'd have to basically just flop down to like get off or stop the thing.
People,
you know,
should be falling constantly in this VR.
We're
just smashing into stuff.
Yeah, I mean, there's that whole scene when he's in the truck just like being banged around all over the place, like just, and like he's like trying to put in the key or whatever and just like completely failing at doing it because he's being, you know, tossed around in real life.
Yeah, they definitely tried to show
a lot of both, right? A lot of like, hey, reminder, they're still in the car.
Yeah.
And it's like, well.
Apparently it mattered then. It didn't matter for the people running around in the streets, punching concrete walls, but God forbid a car hits you.
That's correct. Okay, so let's go back to you, Dominic. So you're at Mozilla. I read that you guys have recently partnered up with Pico.
Mm-hmm.
So can you explain what that's all about and what you're doing on this team of mixed reality members?
Sure, yeah. So I work at Mozilla on the mixed reality team. We're part of emerging technologies at Mozilla. So ET at Mozilla is just about, you know, looking into the future of technology and figuring out how, you know, Mozilla should play a role in them in different areas. So VR is one of the big areas we focus on. My team in particular works on a product called Hubs. So it's hubs.mozilla.com. It's actually like a social VR application. So you can, go to hubs.mozilla.com, you click a link, and then you have a room and you could share that link with other people. They can all hop in. Like we could be having this meeting right now in Hubs if we wanted to. And
we really should be, by the way.
What are we doing? Yeah. But anyway, so you get that link and then you can actually hop in a VR headset or, you know, on your laptop or on your phone without having to install anything. Like web browsers actually have VR support now. You can like literally connect to a VR headset directly to your web browser. We're working on like in all sorts of different areas, you can use this thing. I mean, anywhere you would, you know, use video conferencing or something like that. We've had people looking at using it for, you know, hosting conferences, like an academic conference or something like that, giving talks. And then also just for entertainment purposes, right? You get together in there with your friends and you could watch Ready Player One.
Right. I did read that people go in VR to a movie theater, theater and watch movies in, you know, like a regular, like a 2D movie, but in VR.
Yeah, and actually, you can watch a 3D movie in VR as well. Like, you know,
That makes sense.
I mean, yeah, VR headsets are 3D, so you can actually watch 3D content. But yeah, I mean, like this whole social VR thing, like that aspect of Ready Player One is like absolutely real, and I've been working in that for the past 4 years now, and like it's. Like that aspect of it, I think is like absolutely real. Like we're going to be like spending a lot of time in VR. I don't think to the same scale it's expressed in Ready Player One, but like I think it is very compelling to get into, you know, a virtual room with other real people. Like you can even with very simple avatars. Like I mean, we've done experiments with it's literally just a cube and two cubes for your hands, right? And you can kind of like tell who it is just by their body language and how they're moving around. Like it's very it's very human. it's interesting.
Cool.
It's something you have to experience.
You're saying web browsers essentially come with any VR hardware? Like I can just buy any sort of VR headset and I can sign on to
There's a specification for web browsers called WebXR, like not to get too technical, but like basically it means that like if you have a VR headset plugged into your computer, you can actually go to a website that has web VR support like Hubs and then actually use VR without having to download any software or anything like that in your headset. And then you talked about the whole Pico VR thing. So what that's about is, so Pico VR is a manufacturer of headsets. They're, I think, the biggest manufacturer in the enterprise space. So like in terms of like, if you're a business and you're looking to buy, you know, 3,000 headsets to kit out your whole whatever, you know, you go to Pico VR and they have like this whole enterprise solution for deploying them and all, you know, all that sorts of stuff.
Costco of VR.
Yeah. Like it's the Costco VR. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, you buy the bulk headsets, but then, you know, they have like particular solutions for businesses to manage all these headsets and all this stuff. Anyway. So, Firefox Reality, which is our web browser for virtual reality, is coming pre-installed on those headsets. And then we're also kind of working on, you know, getting Hubs as, you know, to be part of that that offering as well.
Sweet.
So yeah, I mean that's
one
a really
of the coolest names.
Yeah.
Firefox Reality.
Yeah, yeah, right.
That's pretty awesome. So would I be able to like just go on and browse just like,
yeah,
the
yeah,
same
yeah.
way I browse the internet on my computer or my phone right now?
Yep. Yeah. You can just browse you know, regular websites and, you know, watch videos and do all the normal stuff you do in a web browser. But then also you can hit a button, like if you're on a particular website that has VR support, you can hit a button that says enter VR. And then suddenly the web page takes over, boom, you know, everything around you. It's pretty seamless.
Can I open four different web browsers because I have complete 360 area view? Can I put a web browser behind me on Yahoo and another one on Bing on my left?
Yeah. In Firefox Reality, actually, there are multiple tabs. You can open tabs. And the way tabs work is they just kind of go next to each other. And so you can just kind of look around and have multiple web pages open.
Nothing better than a bunch of monitors to make you feel like a hacker.
Yeah.
That's really cool. Oh, do you have a, I don't know if this Pico is like the brand of the VR headset, but I was going to ask you if there's a headset you'd recommend for people to get if they're getting into it. They want to play VR games.
Yeah.
I don't know if you have a favorite VR game as well, but you know, a lot of people don't have it or don't know anything about it. So yeah, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'd be hard pressed not to recommend the Oculus Quest. It's $400, completely standalone. You don't need a computer or anything. To use it. The library of games and applications is pretty huge. It's, you know, you can buy a cable to hook it up to a computer and then use it as a desktop VR headset as well. Like it's very compelling.
Do you need those sensors that set up your perimeter?
No, you don't need anything like that. It's all like self-contained. It has cameras on it that track the environment, like inside out tracking. It's a very good device. My only gripe with it is that it's owned by Facebook, and I don't particularly love Facebook, but other than that, I think it's a great headset.
Can I run with the headset on and I won't hit anything?
You can run with the headset on. You will hit something eventually.
okay, let me jot that down. We'll hit something with headset on. Don't run. Got it. Cool.
But the way the headset setup is actually very it's really cool. So like you put the thing on and then you're looking through the camera, so you're seeing your real room, and then it has you just kind of draw a line around the space you want to play in. And then as you approach that, it'll kind of, you'll see like a grid pop up, like, you know, you're in the virtual environment, and as you kind of get near one of your real walls that you define, you'll see like a grid pop up and you're like, okay, I can't step over there. So like you can completely get lost in it. I mean, it's very easy to just, you get in there and then you're in VR for several hours or whatever. And then you come out and you're like facing a wall. Like you're just like directly like in front of a wall. You're like, oh, I didn't know I was here.
Wow. All right. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Hey everyone, this is Jesse David Fox, host of Good One, a podcast about jokes. I am proud to announce that I have personally won the Streaming Wars. And there's a new docu-special on Peacock based on our own Vulture podcast. Good One, a show about jokes, follows Mike Birbiglia as he develops new material, taking audiences through the process of transforming personal stories into stand-up. Featuring interviews with Mike's family and comedy colleagues like Seth Meyers, Hasan Minhaj, and Asko Akatsuka, Good One, a show about jokes, is streaming now only on Peacock.
The break is over. Here we go back to the show about science.
Okay, my next question is, what avatar would you be? Because obviously, in the Oasis, the virtual reality of Ready Player One.
Well, you know, I think mine, I kind of go with, what's his name? Parsival's kind of approach. It's still pretty just like, kind of looks like human, but subtle changes, you know? Okay. I don't think I'd get too crazy and be like a
sleeve tattoos, though. Or
maybe, you know, maybe I consider some tattoos.
Tat it up, because they're not permanent. I mean, you can change it whenever.
That's true. You know, I don't know if my parents would approve, you know, my VR parents, but.
You don't know if your VR parents would be okay with your tattoos?
Yeah, you know, I'd have to ask them first, but.
Yeah, that makes sense. I was thinking, not to step on you, Dominic, but I assume you need as much time as possible for this.
Yes, I'm trying to think about
response.
This.
I think I would be a sea otter with a backwards cap and a skateboard, and I think, and sunglasses. And I think my weapon of choice would be like a 1920s Tommy gun.
Yeah. How would your voice sound? How would you modulate your voice?
Ooh, how would I modulate my voice?
Yeah.
I'd be like, hey guys, what's up?
I mean, you won't sound like someone from the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
I feel like I kind of sound like somebody from Ninja Turtles.
Okay.
It's like Michelangelo-ish.
Michelangelo-ish?
Yeah, it's like sort of like Michelangelo.
Okay.
What's up? Yeah, I'm a sea otter, but I kick ass.
You just always have a pizza also with you.
Yeah, exactly. Always have a pizza. I'm always here for a good time. Exactly. What about you, Dominic?
I think I would honestly be switching it up a lot. I had a meeting this morning as a Ninja Turtle, so I've already done that.
So you did choose and, your avatar.
Yeah, but you know, I've been a duck or I've been a robot. You know, there's lots of fun stuff. So like, why limit yourself to just one thing?
Man, I don't want to sound, you know, anti-humanity, but it would be way more fun to see my friends every day if I didn't know how they were going to, you know, what species they were going to be. That's fun.
It's like Dom mentioned, I'm sure you could pick up on some of their body language, you know?
Yeah, that's true. I'd still know who they were, but it'd be so much more fun. It'd be so much more of a celebration every time, you know, oh my God, it's Alistair, but he's a duck. Like, that's great. So I want to talk about AR for a second. I've seen some great AR stuff just that kind of gets automatically loaded onto my phone and I just instantly become obsessed with it. But we were looking up, they have AR lenses now. Is that correct? Like contact lenses that will show you, I don't know, stats, your BPM and stuff?
Yeah, I mean, I've heard some about that. I haven't tried any of like contact lenses. I've used like AR headsets, like the HoloLens or the Magic Leap. And those are really awesome. I know,
so
yeah.
What is that? Can you explain that to me?
Yeah, so I mean, if you've used a VR headset, it's kind of like that, but you can see through it. But yeah, I mean, essentially it's a, you know, headset you put on your head. It has some sort of transparent glass of some form on it. And then there's a screen embedded in there somehow, either through like it's projecting onto it or, you know, it could be an LCD that you're looking through. There's like lots of different technologies, but effectively, you know, you're looking around the world and then you see virtual objects kind of transparently overlaid onto the real world. And through varying degrees of fidelity. One of the biggest issues right now that I've seen with AR headsets is just like a lot of times the field of view is pretty small. So like you're seeing this transparent object, but you can kind of see where the edges of the screen are. So you can see like a hard line where it cuts off and you can rotate your head to look at more of the object, but you're still seeing this like hard line, you know, at the edge of your vision. And that's something that is improving as they're getting better.
Okay, and speaking of improvement, we were looking at Mojo lenses. Do you know about that? That supposedly just came out.
I think I heard about them. Like that was talked about at CES, but I haven't tried them myself.
Mm-hmm. Okay, not on the front lines, Dominic.
No, I didn't
get in the trenches, bro.
I didn't get out to CES, but I mean, I work mostly on VR stuff, not on AR stuff. But I think that AR stuff's really cool too. And honestly, the overlap in terms of like technology and software and all that is very high. So I think both, like working on both kind of boosts both, or like floats both ships, or however the saying goes.
Yeah, floats both boats.
Yeah.
One of the most difficult sayings to say on the planet.
I think the HoloLens is actually the one that we actually use in construction all the time. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, for 3D modeling. Mm-hmm. So they'll actually load in stuff from like Revit, which I think is like a modeling software.
Okay.
And you can like kind of walk through the model and, you know, see.
Whoa.
Or maybe...
What does it look like? Does it look detailed or it looks like green laser?
I mean, it looks just like as though you're looking at it on a computer screen, but you're able to kind of maneuver around it.
Holy crap.
You know, it's pretty neat. And so we're already kind of, at least in the construction industry, are using it for those applications and even...
And it's just like on a table? You're looking at a building on a table?
Yeah, it's like basically sitting like on a table.
Wow.
Yeah.
And the whole team can just poke and play, you basically play Jenga.
Yeah, essentially. I mean, it's because it's so hard when you're looking at something that's... You're trying to build something so complex.
Yeah.
And you're trying to visualize it based on a bunch of layers of 2D paper.
Right, sure.
So whenever you see it in front of you, it's a lot easier to find issues and things like
great.
That.
Great. So, I mean, that's the one thing we need is a lot more building. So now we can make those quicker.
Yes.
It's a lot easier to do.
A lot quicker.
Awesome. Okay. What about the, I don't want to say failed, but I've just, I don't know. I feel like it came and went. The Google Glass. Am I right in saying that? Am I off? Is this wrong? Am I wrong?
No, I mean, you could call that an AR device. Like a lot of it, you know, certainly like it was a display you put on your head and you saw something that wasn't in the real world. So it's AR in that regard. But like, I think it was pretty different in that it, you know, it didn't track your head movements or anything like that. It wasn't trying to overlay virtual objects onto the real world, which is kind of like what the current set of AR devices do. Mm. I mean, like you were talking about the building example, like you can literally like be at a building site and put the building where it will be and then like see it in scale and context and be able to look up, you know, and see, okay, like how, like what does the skyline look like now with this building in place? You know, like you're literally placing that object in the real world. Google Glass was not that. It was just kind of like, it basically was a smartwatch for your face, which, you know, it's cool, I guess, but like, kind of not really, like, I think to me, like, a smartwatch gives you 90% of the features of Google Glass with like 0% of the awkwardness. So it's like, you know, it was doomed to from the start.
I'm sure they're going to have some sort of new Google Glass 2.0 sure. that's going to be ridiculously cool. probably by the time this episode comes out, and then I look like a goof. Russia's putting VR headsets on cows, hoping they produce more milk. Care to comment, Dominic?
I did see that. I don't really know very much about it. I think VR headsets for animals is interesting. I've seen, you know, dogs in VR headsets and all sorts of things like that. I don't know the ethics of it and all that.
I don't know either, but I saw a picture of that and thought it was Photoshopped.
I can only imagine what that's going to say on the packaging, you know. Fair trade, VR raised.
VR milk. Raised milk.
Meat. Yeah, does that count as pasture so raised good. If they're like in a VR pasture? Is that like, is that
a loophole that they discovered? What about the other way? If it's pasture raised with a VR headset, but in VR they're in this tiny cage, I don't know. If in VR he was upside down, so that's cruel.
I'm sure they could buy some time with the philosophical debate on, is that a pasture? Is it not a pasture?
Yeah, it's a VR pasture. He's actually in a cage. Don't buy that milk. okay, so there's a part of this, I have to mention this, and I know we could spend the entire time talking about VR stuff, and it's so cool. Honestly, we could do several episodes about it because it's so interesting to me. But I can't let this go because there was like a 10-minute segment of this movie where they basically were in The Shining. Do you remember
yes.
this part?
Yeah.
Yeah, so once again, of course, had to pause the movie, turn to Alisher and be like, what's going on right here? What is this? I don't even know what this has to really do with anything. I know that he loves The Shining. It's an 80s movie, I think, so all that makes sense. But then it's just, I don't know, it seemed over the top, and it really felt like Kubrick would despise this section of the film. I mean, it's like just like almost shot for shot a couple times, but instead there's a big robot in The Shining. So I just found that to be so, I don't know, wild, and wanted your guys' thoughts on it.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that, honestly, I thought that scene was really cool. Like, it was just like really cool to see how well it was done, right? You're like, yeah, this is just straight up The Shining. Like, I actually do want to know how they did it. Like, did they recreate the sets, or did they try and superimpose stuff? Like, I don't know how they did it, but it was actually really cool. I don't remember if that was specifically in the book, The Shining. I know that there was lots of being in movies was like part of the book.
Okay.
But I don't remember if The Shining was actually, I don't know if you remember.
I don't think it was in the book per se, but yeah, I think to Dom's point, I think it's their way of kind of paying or an homage to all the challenges he had to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think he had to play out War Games. He had to play out. Yeah, he was in Blade Runner, I think,
cool.
for a bit.
Okay.
And in the book, it was like a word for word. Like, you had to be able to like do the whole movie with all the right timing. Like, you had to be able to recite the whole thing or whatever.
Right.
Like, it was, you know.
I mean, that is a very cool idea. That would be a fun game to just recreate moments in movies. That's cool.
It would have sucked to restart any of those, like,
yeah,
you screw up the last line,
hour in,
yeah. Yeah,
just give me the line. I got all the other ones. Jesus. Okay, yeah, that I thought that was really funny, and I don't know, maybe just came out of nowhere for me, but definitely shook me up. So, what about suits? They have these suits in the movie that are like touch sensitive,
mm-hmm.
you know, they touch each other and you feel it in your van by yourself. So I have 2 points on that. One, of course, do we have anything like that? I'd love to know what the advancements are. And two, why would you wear the crotch part?
I'll leave the second thing for you to ponder, but these do exist in some form. I don't think they're, you know, quite as advanced as they're shown in the movie where, you know, like just the amount of, you know, sensitivity and all that's kind of shown. But, you know, there are haptic vests and haptic gloves and the sorts of thing that you can wear. Like, there exist these full body haptic suits already. I don't know. Like I said, I don't think they're as good as they are in the movie, but like, we're well on our way to kind of doing that sort of thing if we want to.
And is that just with touch sensitivity, or are there smell things yet?
Yeah, there actually are smell things too. There's like a attachments for VR headsets that do smell. I haven't used one myself. I have a friend who ended up using one at like a trade show and just got like blasted in the nose with like some smell and just it stuck around for like days. Like he was just like never trying to.
No.
But yeah, I mean, smell is actually really, really tough to do because, you know, we're pretty good at like reproducing things you can see because it's like, you know, you have red, green, and blue and you kind of mix them and you can generate any color pretty well. Smells, like there's lots of unique smells and we don't really have a good way of just like combining smells to create other smells as well. So like having a catalog of every smell is like not really feasible or possible. So that's actually an interesting limitation there.
Smell is the new horizon.
Yeah, that it's one of them.
Everybody's in VR. We get it. Everybody's trying to see the craziest shit. You know, you're not going to be, if you're just getting into this, you're behind. But if you want to jump on the smell train,
right?
Yeah,
I mean,
untapped innovative potential there. It actually, like you said, you did the void. The void actually does usually have some sort of smell component to it. It's like a limited thing. I don't know which one did you do.
One of them was the Wreck-It Ralph. One.
Yeah,
and they did have smell. You enter like a candy shop, and it really does smell great.
Yeah, it's really cool. And then they have the Star Wars one where, like, you know, you're like on a ship and then it opens up onto this fire planet and like a wave of heat hits you. And then you also smell like fire and brimstone kind of at the same time. Like it's pretty awesome.
That was my favorite part. I think.
Yeah, it's really cool. Like when you combine all those things together, like your body really is tricked. You're like, wow, yep, that's real. You know, like,
yeah, totally. I was scared to fall off.
Yeah.
And this has just turned into a huge commercial for The Void.
No, I mean, The Void is awesome. Like, if you're near one and you haven't been, like, just go. It's awesome. Like,
absolutely. Okay, so wait, while we're on the R's, virtual R, augmented R, smell R, I don't know what the hell you would call that. What is XR? Do you know what that is?
It doesn't really mean anything. XR is just a catch-all term for, like, all of the realities. I mean, like, depending on who you ask, it's going to mean a different thing. Some people just say the X is a variable, so it just stands for whatever variable you want, you know, like, but, and then,
so they don't know what they're doing.
And then the term mixed reality is basically means the same thing. It's just like AR and VR and anything in between. These are all kind of just general terms. XR is the term used. So, like I said, the web specification is called WebXR because, like, it doesn't want to be limited to VR, AR. It's like, okay, well, what if we think about other things?
Right. Okay. That makes sense.
I actually had a question about that since you brought up some of that. Like other applications for VR, I was reading some really interesting things about how it's being used for like health and therapy applications.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I mean, can you give us some insight maybe on what's going
on? I mean, there's tons of stuff. I mean, you know, there's obviously like all the obvious use cases like gaming and all this sort of stuff and industrial uses, education, you know, like any sort of remote training, that sorts of stuff. But then, yeah, like we've seen people starting to use it for things like pain management, like treating phantom limb, you know, like if you've lost a limb, there's like the phantom limb thing where it's like your body kind of can't let go of the fact, you know, you have this pain there because this arm is missing and you never really got to like unrelease your hand. Right. And so like they actually have been doing things where like you have a virtual hand and you see it and you can actually open it. And then that kind of can like let your brain finally let go of that, you know, like it's being used for crazy stuff like that. There's people who have like certain kinds of vision problems, like they don't have stereo vision or like have you know, lazy eye and this sort of stuff. And you can use VR as a training device to fix those sorts of things. You know, not all this stuff is like clinically proven yet or anything like that, but like I've seen lots of like anecdotal stories and there's definitely startups working in that area, and that stuff's super interesting.
And dementia as well. I think we were looking at an article yesterday that says that people are using it for dementia as well, right?
I haven't seen that one, but that, yeah, like I said, there's just tons of different, the space is huge here. Like
it's a literal virtual world of possibilities.
Infinite space.
Yeah. What country would you say is leading the way in VR today?
I mean, I'm like biased because I work in the Valley here, and it's like, okay, I think we're doing pretty great. But like Korea is also doing very well. Like they're working on lots of stuff. And then also I know, like I said, the Japan has like those VR arcades and this sorts of stuff. It's pretty popular there as well. But you know, we have Oculus here, and Oculus is definitely one of the biggest players in the space. And then we, like Valve is also really huge in the space, pushing VR. HTC is not an American company, and they're big as well. And then there's, you know, Pico and all these other VR headset manufacturers. But the fact that we have Oculus, I think is a huge deal.
Good. Planting our flag. I like that. At the end of the film, he says, well, first he says that they're going to close the Oasis on Tuesdays and Thursdays. That was hilarious because how inconvenient for people. Mm-hmm. What if their job, they only work Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and then they can't play? Anyways, I had an issue with that. Just have it two times a week they can't play. Maybe it's up to them. They can choose.
Sure.
What if your job is in the Oasis, though? Like, that whole thing seemed a little ridiculous to me. I'm like...
Seems like there's a whole economy in the Oasis.
Well, exactly. I don't know.
Seems like anything worth doing is in the Oasis in this screwed up near future.
And now you're going to take away the weekend and just make it randomly Tuesday and then...
It's called Fix the World on Tuesday and Thursday. And then go pretend it doesn't exist on the rest of the days.
Very strange resolution. But then they said that people need to spend more time in the real world. That, I feel like, is one of the messages of the movie. Not to, I don't know, dive too deep into VR or video games or your phone or whatnot. So do you resonate with that? Do you agree? Do you think there should be limitations of some sort set by the government?
I mean, it's hard to say. Like, I think, especially like when you're talking with other people and communicating with other people, that seems healthy to me. What I think is not healthy is kind of just, this is not really about VR, but just the whole attention economy thing, like how basically all, you know, our phones are basically just these devices used to grab our attention to sell advertising to us, ultimately. So it's like, that whole thing is not great. How Facebook works, like all the social networking stuff, like all this stuff that's presumably to connect us together has like really, I don't think has. It's a funnel for like advertising to our faces. So that in that regard, yeah, I do think that like, I don't know if government stepping in, but like us stepping in as technologists and whatever to at least try and regulate this a little bit, because you know where we're headed doesn't seem great for me in that regard. This isn't really about VR though, like it's just in general. Though that is like one thing that scares me about VR, right? Because the potential there for blasting ads at your face. I mean, they literally talk about this in the movie, right? He's like, oh, we can cover 80% of their peripheral vision with ads before inducing seizures. This is great. Mm-hmm. And I'm like thinking, right. I'm like, are there meetings like this going on at companies right now? You know what I mean?
Seriously.
Because I mean, absolutely. You know, not just like that, like literal, like I don't think it's ever going to be that blatant. It's going to be scarier than that, right? I mean, you know, I talked about being able to recognize your body language. I mean, these things are biometric devices that can track your whole body's movement, right? I mean, imagine what kind of things you can do if you can determine based on someone's body language that they're depressed and then kind of start selling them things, you know, in that regard. Like it's these are incredibly capable devices. And so it's a little scary, you know, what can be done with them.
Should we outlaw them?
No, absolutely not. We should not outlaw them. We just need to make responsible decisions.
Speaking of that, you know, from what I've read, it seems like Mozilla has some pretty kind of honorable core values when it comes to that.
Yeah, I mean, that's our whole thing. I mean, Mozilla is all about the kinds of things I was talking about, like protecting privacy and like actually making thoughtful ethical decisions and things. I mean, I don't want to get this wrong, but so the Mozilla Foundation is a nonprofit. And then I think the Mozilla Corporation, which I work for, is like a wholly owned subsidiary of the nonprofit. Mm-hmm. But what that means is basically like, we don't have investors. We don't have anything we're not out to make money. We need to make money to, you know, sustain ourselves and keep hiring good people and, you know, doing that sort of stuff. But like one of our mottos is like people over profits, right? So it's like, we care about users and like, we can actually do that because our business model doesn't dictate that we have to, you know, generate value for shareholders and all this stuff. Like ultimately your business model is what's going to determine what you can do in your software. And so, I mean, that's something we care about a lot. And that's why we're in the VR space, right? I mean, we want to make sure that there is at least a voice there fighting for, you know, for the user's benefit. And that's what emerging technology is all about. It's like about finding opportunities in all different spaces, making sure we have a say there.
Well, as a giant VR fan, I'm glad that Mozilla is in the space. It sounds like we need more people like you.
Yeah.
It also sounds like you should team up with Bernie Sanders. I feel like you guys would make a great team. Maybe he could do a whole VR speech.
I'm an Andrew Yang person myself, but.
Oh, okay. Well. Either way.
Oh, we got to educate the people.
Yeah. Educate the people, yes, in all sorts of realities. Okay, so as we leave, we always have a little plug section here, Dominic. So is there something people should, in particular, look out for, something being released, something you think they should be a part of?
Yeah, I mean, I think check out Hubs. So hubs.mozilla.com. You don't have to create an account or anything. You just go there, create a room, and you know, send it to a friend and check it out.
Great. Hubs.mozilla.com. Everybody go check that out. Get a VR headset. Get an Oculus Quest. Yeah. I'm going to try and look for one on the street somewhere.
Yeah, me too.
Alistair, something you'd like the people to know about?
You know, I have this band I really like.
Oh.
Actually, I want to plug some of their stuff, if that's
Incubus?
Okay. No, not Incubus, but I guess.
They're
actually called The Cooties.
Oh, yeah, The Cooties. That's a good group.
Yeah, it's a trio. It's kind of comedy music. you know, they just launched one of their studio videos.
Whoa, I love recording studios. You know me.
Check that out. It's The Cooties. Search that on YouTube.
Yeah, I think youtube.com/The Cooties. is where you can find their stuff.
That's correct. Yes.
I did hear that their stuff is very, just like revolutionary. It's just really changing the
game. You know,
game.
Really, really, they are super excited to see what they've got going on in the future.
Great. Okay, well, how selfless of you to plug a group you're not in.
Well, you know, I want to look out for others. So.
Wow. Just like Mozilla.
Looking out for the greater good here.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I don't know if you want to leave your job or if Mozilla's hiring, but this sounds like a good partnership right here. You could tell them about AR.
Let me know. You know, shoot my resume over that way, Dom.
Hey, Dom, hook this guy up, okay? Let him build a building in AR or something.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, great. Well, thank you both. I had a fantastic time, and we'll talk next time there's a VR movie that comes. Or maybe we'll just talk about The Void next time.
Yeah, we could just do a whole podcast about The Void. That sounds fun.
We kind of just did that anyway. Yeah. So we might as well be straightforward about it next time. All right. Thank you both. Bye.
Bye.
Bad Science is hosted and produced by me, Ethan Edinburgh. Our associate producer is Emily Feld. Our editor is Lucas Bollinger. And the executive programmer producer is Brett Kushner. Follow us on Instagram @BadScienceShow. That's @BadScienceShow. Or feel free to send us an email, badscience@seeker.com. That's badscience@seeker.com. Let us know what you think about the show, any movies we should do in the future. I always appreciate getting your emails. And of course, leave us an iTunes review. That lets other people hear about the show. And I'll see you all next week. Bye.